on today's Compassion Radio.
We've been praying for you that the two of you discover what the us is in God's calling and plan for you. And it's not just her sacrificing everything she had just to follow you into what you were doing somewhere.
I would think that would be a bit arrogant. I knew God called me here, so I couldn't change the here. Yeah. I knew what God has called me to in my life. How that's expressed in different people's lives may be different. But I do think, this is my opinion now, maybe not straight from the Bible. I do think when people are married, there needs to be some way you can bring that part together.
Hi, friends. We're back today with part two, an update on the work of Trans World Radio from our good friend, Daniel Plett. With thousands of hours of programming a day to manage across every continent and time zone, his personal mission is literally around the clock. If there's a gospel on the air in hundreds of countries that are officially opposed to it, Daniel Plett is the one who put it there. And millions of believers around the world are very grateful for it, even if they never hear his name in their lifetimes. This interview is a very personal one, as you'll hear later in today's episode. For now, we'll kick it off with a recap of how Daniel and TWR are facing unprecedented technical, logistical, legal, and spiritual roadblocks between the lips of teachers and reporters, and the eager ears of millions trying to remain faithful to the one that has transformed their lives. Thanks for joining us today.
How do you keep going in cases that seem impossible? And I think they're seeing some answers. And it may be answers along the road instead of an overarching, oh, A, B, C, and D, and it will be fine.
Yeah.
Because those principles are there, but it's not quite so simple. But I think people are seeing this hope of God's ongoing faithfulness.
Okay. Can I hopscotch over a couple of countries with you? Because your thumbprint on the globe is vast. I don't know if there's many places on the planet you don't have some effective media ministry happening. Now the missiles are flying over the top of Lebanon and Syria between Iran and Israel. Who knows where the thing's going to unravel to or stumble into? We don't know. But there are millions of vibrant Christian believers in Iran now, because one of the world's largest revivals ever. And there are even a remnant of faithful believers in Gaza, although I can't imagine how they're surviving, and some that are living very quiet lives right now inside of Israel. What are you hearing, man? What's the church going through, and how are they praying, and how are they staying in the spiritual fight?
It's hard to know where to start.
Yeah, I'm sure of that.
It's easy to want to answer an A, B, and C, and it's not so simple. I think everybody deals with a level of pain and anger, just like when we go through disappointment or disagreement.
Yep.
I think both of them, and it may not be there at the beginning, eventually get to the point of saying, how can God be glorified right now in me in this circumstance? Same question you ask in Idaho, same question I ask in Bratislava, but it's quite some different application.
Yeah.
How do I live for him here? And I know in Israel, it's an extremely small country, land-wise, and they don't have a lot of friends around them over that way. So for the believers there, and as an extreme minority, how do you live not only as a citizen of the country, but as a minority for in your lifestyle and the way you believe too? But yet God called you to minister out. He never calls us just to hunker down.
Right.
So we have actually partnered with some people there that are doing relief work in Israel and some of the areas that have suffered and struggled with it.
Okay.
I know there are many things going along the same area for Gaza, but I don't have the information on the physical help. I know the broadcasting and media continues. We fine-tuned some of the block of programs in their language to have kinds of programs that are maybe more relevant to the current situation.
Yeah.
And trying to, again, partner with other Christian organizations, usually from the surrounding countries that are trying to provide relief efforts.
Okay.
Even if we disagree very hard with somebody, I'm talking about any country, if we have a hard heart and don't care about them and don't love them, and that has nothing to do with agreeing with somebody. If people are created in God's image, whether they believe in him or not.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
So are we still going to minister to them? And the country of Iran has had a huge amount of revivals. You said right now, percentage-wise, one of the biggest in the world. It's had a huge percent of refugees. Say, on one hand, how do you minister to the refugees? On the other hand, of the refugees, there may be some people wanting to minister to their own people.
Mm-hmm.
So in the surrounding countries, we often have gathered some of those together to help develop media because they're good, strong believers. They have strong job skills. They're refugees, you know, put them to work for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And they're thrilled that they can talk to their own people about hope.
Right.
And I think any country I've lived in, I've had Christians that loved the government, and I have those that thought they were an abomination.
Indeed.
So how are you going to minister to the people in your country that you love? And most people still have a lot about their country that they do love. And how do you apply God's word in that setting? Those are good questions. I don't have the answers in this case, but I know we are addressing some of those just online. The ministry to Iran has three different 24-hour radio channels, one straight music, one straight teaching, and one's a mix named for younger people. Because different people are going to listen to different things. So, you know, let's try. And parts of Iran, the internet can be a death sentence. Parts of it, radio is a death sentence. So you have to know and be wise how to use things.
You're not the only broadcaster that's focused in on those particular language groups.
Nope.
As a result of that, do you find yourself doing more cooperative work with other agencies that are based around the Mediterranean?
Practically, it is yes. You will always have people you disagree with and people you work with. We have, for instance, in the Arabic department, we have people that are strong preachers and believers that move to the U.S. and have ministry, but they want to keep ministering to their own people. Sometimes it's actually their material. Sometimes it's sponsoring people they trust. Sometimes it says, we're just going to give money. We know we need more youth programs. Find somebody good and we'll trust them. So it can be a lot of different ways. But yes, there are conferences that happen among Christian media organizations, especially around the Mediterranean. There are others, and we are very active in those because I don't know of any major project, and I say that I know in the last 10 years, there may be some that we have done just as our organization. It's not possible. Mm-hmm. The job's too big.
Yeah, indeed.
Why not work together?
What do you look forward to, Daniel, in the next couple of years? If you could do anything and money and technology was no impediment to it, what would you be putting your hand to?
I like two pictures in the Bible. One is John the Baptist, and I'm not as honored as him, but his way was to prepare the way, to prepare the road. And if you read in Isaiah, the mountains to be low and the rough places smooth. So the word of God can get out smoothly without hindrance.
Yeah,
I like that. What can I do in our organization, or what can our organization do for the churches in these countries? So God's word can go forth unhindered. Mm. And I always joke, if people always in the Old Testament look about the priests, and what tribe were the priests from? Levi, right?
Right.
There were two other tribes of priests. Mm-hmm. And I always say my personality is I'm one of the Gershonites.
There you go.
And they were the ones that prepared the temple. They took it up and down. They got the equipment ready. Mm-hmm. So
the roadies.
And as you know, in the past, I did, yes, the sound and the technicians, so the music from the front or the message from the front can be heard ideally. Mm-hmm. Originally, as a sound person, my perfect concert, my perfect time as I do it in church is when nobody has any idea that we did anything because it sounds so normal.
You're invisible.
And for me, as our organization in media, I want it to be the same. And for my role in our organization, we do our job so well that those who are listening to the heart of God and have a passion for their people, when they go to explain it, it is heard unhindered and unrestrained in the hearts of the listeners. So being very good and very invisible, probably not a dream you hear often, but I'd like to be have things done so well that God's message is unhindered, either by the barriers we tend to put in it, or it's unhindered also by technology. Technology makes the road smoother and easier.
And doesn't foul at the wrong moment. So where is the battle then? What are the kind of things that are impediments at this point that are making your life difficult and making it smooth for those who speak the word?
I think you have to start that it's a spiritual battle, whether it's for me living honorably for God. I have to fight the fight and let him fight it through me. Mm-hmm. Or against principalities and powers, against things that are set up against God. This world is not a place that's set up to honor God and to love others. So it's unnatural, but being unnatural can be good.
Okay.
So I think those are one of the battles. There are always the smaller struggles that seem so huge, and they are. Where do we find coworkers and people or cooperating organizations? We just don't know of each other. We meet somebody, say, for all these years we wanted to do it. Now we can't because we finally met either in time or physical location. And finances are a bit of a reality too. God could create money and grow it on trees.
Yeah.
And if he can heal a dead man, that's easy. But he doesn't usually choose that road. So I think the right kind of people and cooperating organizations to work with, finance is an issue. But the number one spiritual battle, and how do we live right to honor God? And are we listening to his voice for what he wants us? Whether you're living in your own small town and doing that, if God wants you there, stay there, do that, and nothing else. Mm-hmm. But make sure you've listened to hear what he has for you to do.
We'll be back with more from Daniel Blett of Transworld Radio right after this. And if you don't mind me saying so now, I hope this short message will stick with you as well. For you are essential to the mission of Compassion Radio. We truly cannot do it without you. Compassion Radio has been committed to bringing you the truth about what God is really doing in the world and how he is bringing about the salvation, redemption, life, and growth of his kingdom wherever it is to be found. So much has changed and is changing in this world. At the same time, I'm discovering in a deeper way how absolutely consistent God is in times of trial. So I'll ask you, will you help? Just call today with your first gift and consider making it monthly. Call us 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And our website is CompassionRadio.com. If you're on the move right now, you can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to make your gift immediately. God bless you. And now, back to our discussion.
If God wants you there, stay there, do that, and nothing else. Mm-hmm. But make sure you've listened to hear what he has for you to do.
Well, speaking about listening to what you need to do and hearing him, what's something in all of the vast programming of TWR around the world that you are hands-on with throughout the week? Something that you've heard that just really moved you?
We have a program that we're beginning to do in a lot of languages, and it came up out of Brazil by accident. It's called Mission 66. It's kind of like Route 66, but the name was copyrighted and IPR'd already.
Okay.
It's kind of like teaching the way through the Bible, but in a conversation.
Oh, good.
Talking to people at a coffee shop and just explaining the Bible to them and listening to their questions. And it was so incredibly effective that we've started to use it now in many, many languages. We've done internationally in English with voices from England and South Africa and the U.S. It's going to other languages. But to me, that's the point of seeing how can you make God's word clearly heard to other people.
Right.
So if my job in this, you asked my job. My job was coming up with original standards of really exciting things. What is the audio quality?
Mm-hmm.
What are the different lengths for fades in and out?
Mm-hmm.
Bit rate, sample rate. What is the file name? How do we get the metadata correct? This is stuff most people don't want to know.
Right.
But if I can do this, that ministry can multiply.
You know, that really warms my heart, Daniel. As you know, Sandy and I have been doing broadcasting together since we've been in the chair at Compassion Radio since 2017. And we decided to focus on conversational teaching, actually working through exegetically and do it in a conversation. She and I actually having coffee talk together. So we explore new questions or ask each other questions. So that very formula you're talking about for us has been revelatory. I mean, it's been opening both of our concepts up for what God really wants to say through the word by learning how to listen to each other. And it's been great for our marriage. But it's also something that's not standard in American preaching. You know, if you have your pulpit and you're a person, you have your perspective and it's godlike. You have all the right to say what you're going to say and no one can argue with you when you're in the pulpit. And I keep thinking, I will never get close to what the truth really is unless I'm listening. And if there's anybody I need to listen to in my life more than my wife, I don't know who it is. So between the two of us submitting to God and saying, speak to us, speak through us, help us to encourage others to speak with each other and do the very thing you said is working for TWR. That means a world to me, man. And so I'm looking forward to hearing more of that programming.
Somebody said, and it's not just the wife, somebody said that the Holy Spirit's voice is often disguised as our spouses.
Indeed.
Now, I issue that with a proviso. I was a single for a lot longer than many people.
Mm-hmm.
And God speaks to us very clearly in every circumstance if we're willing to listen to him.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
But he never calls us to live out our Christian life just to ourselves.
Indeed.
Even if you're a pathological introvert, and I know he wants us to be connected to people. how that connection is, how many they are, and how it's done. Listen to his voice. He'll tell you.
Yeah.
But somehow we are to be relating to the people who he has created in his image, and we have a job to tell them.
We do. And speaking of those voices speaking into us, you and I haven't talked a lot about how married life is treating you since you got remarried. I know we prayed with you and over you years ago about losing your first wife to cancer and the struggle to being a single father in missions with kids on the mission field. And we got to know your family over those years. And it's meant the world to me because they're beautiful kids. We haven't had a chance to meet your wife now personally, but we've followed your progress and how God brought you two together. It's a miracle in the making that I've seen. How's it coming along, and how is your joint ministry in this new family?
It might be better to ask her.
Yeah, fair enough. I would love to do that someday soon.
You can do that on another program.
Indeed.
If there were two people that are fairly unlikely to meet, this is it. But I think both of us had chosen to follow God's call on our lives. Mm-hmm. For her, God called her to be a doctor, to be single for a while. And she did that with a whole heart. And God called me into missions, and when my first wife died, I had to reevaluate what kids. They were at home here, and God said, you know how specifically I called you to where you are? I've not changed that yet.
Yeah.
How are those going to join? In ways that neither one of us expected. I think the last place either one of us expected to meet a future spouse is online.
Mm-hmm. That's where a lot of people are meeting nowadays.
Well, and we specifically each felt at the right time and place that that was what he wanted us to do.
Okay.
So there are changes, and we're still learning to walk them. I have a good friend who's a pastor and does lots of counseling. To really get a marriage going in the right direction, cemented with good habits, he says, people say it's a year. I say it's more like 5 years. So I'm halfway to that. Okay. I'm almost 3 years now. And I think it's amazing that it's an absolute miracle when anybody offers you their friendship.
Indeed.
And much more that they're willing to risk, or maybe you risk with them, to tie your star to them, or vice versa.
Yep.
So maybe age makes a difference too, but I just think it's an absolute incredible miracle, and I'm thankful. We still have a lot to learn.
I can't imagine you ever argue.
Why should I argue if I'm right?
Exactly. And she knows far better than that, I'm sure. How is your wife adjusting now to life in Slovakia?
That needs to be another episode from her.
Fair enough.
I'd say there are ongoing adjustments. There were no adjustments that didn't happen. Changing a job, changing career, social status, income, moving away from family, moving away from dear dog. There are lots of them. And I think God has done some amazing things. First couple of years, there were also some incredibly difficult. It's reality. Life has hard things. It doesn't mean they're wrong.
We've been praying for you that the two of you discover what the us is in God's calling and plan for you. And it's not just a sense of her sacrificing everything she had just to follow you into what you were doing somewhere.
I would think that would be a bit arrogant. I knew God called me here, so I couldn't change the here. Yeah. I knew what God has called me to in my life. How that's expressed in different people's lives may be different. But I do think, this is my opinion now, maybe not straight from the Bible. I do think when people are married, there needs to be some way you can bring that part together, whether it's 10 or 20% or whether it's 100%, that's very different. But I think some way to walk with God together, to worship together, and even to minister in some way or shape together, God's creative enough to make one that works for you.
And find that sweet spot, which you never knew existed until you knew this person. We feel the same way after 33 years of our marriage, that we're still trying to find, get closer to where that sweet spot is. We both know we're flourishing in the Word and in His imminence in our lives and in our friendship with each other. So we wish you God's very best as you hit the 3 mark and keep going on to 5 and clear sailing from there out, I guess.
Yes. Happily ever after, right?
Exactly. Daniel, is there anything else before we log off this time that you'd like to share with our Compassion Radio listeners about what God's doing in, around, and through Transworld Radio?
In the last 6 months, I've been dealing with 2 or 3 crises where things, all of a sudden there's change. I'm not saying it's a disaster. That's different than a crisis.
Right.
A crisis or an emergency. But it's amazing God has used to bring some very useful, wanted, and helpful changes happened. Because crises opened the door to do it finally. I'm talking organizationally and technically now.
Okay.
But I think that sometimes is true in our lives now. Sometimes it takes a crisis to change my habit. It's a crisis to change my security or my dependence on something. I don't want more crises. Don't want them. Not at all.
You didn't ask for them to start with.
But when you've been in God's word, when you've been prepared, he can give you the foundation to walk through that. You have changes. You can have transitions. Are you going to be transformed? I stole that from my wife, but I think it's a good one.
I'm glad she was willing to loan that to you. And when you speak as an individual, Daniel, I know that your heart is absolutely baked into the fabric of TWR. You were raised in it. You've been around it forever in your life. So you really are about as a Trans World Radio baby as there could possibly be. And you're right at the very heart of what the operations are nowadays. So when I hear you talk about crises or facing difficulties yourself, it's on the institutional level too. I know that. You're talking about things that are impacting thousands of people around the world. And you're intimately involved with the middle of the ministry to those people who are going through that crisis with you. You are given a lot of pastoral responsibility just by Jesus putting you in the middle of conversations that need to be had and people that need to be ministered to. So it's not just about the technical stuff. I know you're a pastor at heart as well. But we'll keep praying that you are used in effective ways by the Spirit to really bring the kind of ministry and support that your entire team around the world needs on the technical level and on the talent and on the relationships with nations and with families around the planet. We're just grateful that you are there and in the middle of this fight for the spiritual life of the world in our generation. Thanks for doing it.
Thank you.
Come back and join us soon, would you? I'd like to hear more reports of what's happening with your teams on the ground in Iran, Israel, even in the countries that are being liberated now, like Syria, and back through Ukraine, Russia, of course, being the big hot spots for you right now. Mm-hmm. Anytime you've got a report on a country that needs to be remembered and prayed for, I hope you'll let us know.
Be glad to.
My thanks to Daniel Blood of Trans World Radio. The work of TWR literally blankets the entire planet with the gospel, and believers around the world count on them to bring real hope and needed encouragement in the midst of major trials and persecution. TWR does that faithfully each and every day. You can learn more about their work at twr.org.
Even when the mountains bow. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And our website is CompassionRadio.com. We'll see you tomorrow.